Do you know something? I don't know about you, but when I get to a familiar story in the Bible, I sometimes sort of just brush over the top. I may have said this before to you, but and you know, the Christmas story is so beautiful and so, you know, so many times we've heard it and sung it, and you know, it's great, isn't it? But every time I come, I look for something new. And I hope that that's what we find as we talk about Christmas through the eyes of the shepherds this time. We're going to look at, in a moment, at the text. But I want to encourage you to look for something of the miracle and majesty of God's actions here. You know, this is not a fairy tale. This actually happened. Do you know what I mean? This was such a night, okay? There was such a night. And let's look at the text then. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Oh, what a night it was. Oh, what a night it was. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we love this story of you sending Jesus to be with us. The Emmanuel that the Old Testament had pointed to had come. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would come by your Spirit now and speak your truths into this story that we know so well, and give us fresh vision of you and the miracle of your grace through the shepherd's view. Amen. Great. Well, it is, oh, what a night. And I realised, I got that type, I thought, that's good. And then there was a song, and of course, Di got that song. Oh, what a night. I won't sing it to you because I'll put you off, you'll probably enter the church, but never mind. But that wasn't where I got it from, really. I just imagine what the shepherds would be like. You know, if you spoke to a shepherd tonight, if I could bring him up to you and say, "What did you see, Jim?" He would say, "Oh, what a night. I remember it well." And so that's why I put that in. But what is it about that night? And the lovely thing is, this whole information is brought to us through the writings of Luke. Luke, the historian. Luke, the doctor. So he's very clear, but very simple in his attention to detail. And so, there were shepherds. Okay. There were shepherds. We know there were shepherds. No stable, no cave, no humble home for these shepherds. They lived with their sheep on the hills. And there's a reason for that, because they lived on the periphery of society, because as far as society was concerned, if you were the lowest of the low, you could be a shepherd. That was it. It's terrible, isn't it, really? I like that. Oh, sorry. But, yeah. Why was it so? Because that was the day when shepherds were considered out of society, not particularly important. And that's an important point to know at this stage. We'll come back to it in a minute. And they watched over probably several flocks, it's thought, and their night where they were, just outside of Bethlehem, we think, the night where they were would be pitch black, you know? Now, Jan and I were city folk, okay? And when we came to retire to Ashbrocking. Amazing, isn't it? We came to Ashbrocking, and it was the first night I remember when I woke up to go for my habitual walk. Sorry to get so personal, but anyway, you understand what I'm talking about. And I crashed into the bed first. I crashed into the cupboard, actually, first. Couldn't find my way out of the bedroom. When I found my way out of the bedroom, I thought, crumbs, where are the stairs? But it was pitch black. In the city, we were not used to that. There was always light somewhere. Light in the street, light the next door. Light, there was always light. And even when it was dark, in a sense, there was the light, just of the city lights. And we weren't used to this. Ashbrocking, there was no lights, there weren't even street lights, you know? It was completely black, you know? And I remember the first time I walked out in the street when it was dark, my friend said, "You'll need a torch." I said, no, that's all right, I've got pretty good sight, really. He said, "You will need a torch." And I was glad, because I might not live here. I might not be here to tell you the story. And this was the night, such as that these shepherds were used to. That was norm for them. They lived in this dark, dingy place or field. I mean, it must have been beautiful on the one hand. And their responsibility was to look after the sheep, of course, and they had to fend off all sorts of wild animals, including sometimes bears, but certainly the wolves. Like sheep and other vermin of one sort or another. And then on top of that, of course, there were sheep rustlers in those days. They could make money out of sheep rustling. So these were our shepherds. And it was to these shepherds that came the angel of the Lord. And I love it. I love the way that here we have an angel. And do you see the words that in verse 9? An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Appeared? What do you mean appeared? And that's what happened. As far as they were concerned, the angel of the Lord appeared. Luke doesn't give any flowery language around it. This is what happened. This is what the shepherds had given him or those around him to know. And these seasoned shepherds, these seasoned men who were used to all sorts of having to contend with, courageous as they were terrified. Now, has anybody seen an angel? And I don't mean our children, of course. But the reality is, I think if I saw an angel, I would be floored too. And these men were certainly there. But the angel then had this message. "Do not be afraid," they said. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." You know this message well. But to all the people. That's interesting. Luke said, the angel said, to all the people. Now that would have meant something to the Jews particularly, because as far as they were concerned, they were waiting for their Messiah to come. Their Messiah was going to set them free, because their Messiah was their God. But this is going to be good news to all the people. That's interesting. And suddenly that will take a different slant altogether. And this angel had appeared not to the hoi polloi of society, not to the local kings and queens and whatever, but had appeared to those on the very edge of society, the shepherds. And then he goes on and he says, the angel says, today in the town of David. I love that, because you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I live in the tomorrow, do you know? Do you? Yeah, tomorrow you get better. You know, tomorrow I hope. Today I just have to live through it. But actually the good news of Jesus Christ is today, now. Not jam tomorrow, it's jam today. And I thought, yeah, okay, I've got to take that on board. And then it's really interesting. I was reading the first two chapters of Luke, and you notice that Zechariah, bless him, when Gabriel came, he immediately had a question. And his question was, how can I know? He was a theologian, wasn't he? You know, he was the man in the temple. I need to know. Mary, on the other hand, when she met the angel Gabriel, much more practical, said, how can this be? Because I'm not married yet. But before the shepherds could ask that question, even if they were going to, the angel goes on, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. It's almost like the angel knew that they would need to have something to go on here. They would need some backup to this promise, and they got it. So, there were the shepherds, there was an angel, and then suddenly there was this great company of a heavenly host, okay? Now, I don't know what a heavenly choir is, but it will be greater than one angel, presumably. And if it was light and bright already, it became something wonderful. The shining light, the noise, the sound surround on those hills. I can't even begin to imagine it, frankly. But that's what happened. So the whole of heaven almost came down to sing this wonderful refrain, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. You see, between the Old Testament, which had been pointing the way to a Saviour, to the Messiah, to Jesus coming, between that and the New Testament had been a silence of 400 years. Prophecy had stopped. In a sense, the heavens were silent. Wow. And whilst they were silent, this silence must have told on many. But now, suddenly, the heavens are delighted because the operation of God's saving grace was happening now. They knew about the plan, they just didn't know when. And now, that when had come about. And so the choir sang. And we know a few choirs, don't we? I mean, it's lovely at Christmas time because some of the choirs are absolutely beautiful because the music is so beautiful. But it was much, much more than we'd ever heard yet, no matter what. And it was good news for all. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. Oh, do we today need peace? We were looking, Joe and I, at various Christmas cards we bought, and most of them were highly Christian, and I realised that the Christian cards used language that for many years had not meant quite so much, I think, to the many years of my life rather than anything else, didn't mean quite the same. But today, if you look around the world, peace. We shall not have peace until we have peace with God. When we have peace with God, we'll have peace with each other. So that peace eludes us until we have peace with God. And even then, as we know, the struggles are great. Joy. Oh, so many people are suffering around the world now for all sorts of reasons. And even now, despite man's arrogance and the scientific advances that are going on around the world, and I applaud all of them, that's fine. I think it's wonderful that man goes on searching for more. But the reality is, oh God, is that God is the Saviour, has provided the Saviour. And we need a Saviour, and science will not save us. The climate change debate will not be saved by us. We will not save ourselves, because we cannot save ourselves, because we need God to do it. And in Jesus, we find a Saviour. And that, I think, is what the heavenly choir was trying to orchestrate, if you like, the message more fully and more roundly. So now we see the shepherd's response. And the first thing they do is they say, let's check it out. So let's see what the Lord has told us. And it's lovely, isn't it? You know, how many times they must have said, I don't know about this, goodness me, I've never seen anything like it. No, they'd seen it, they were going to test it. So off they went to Bethlehem. And they had seen a glorious event, and they were going to prove it when they saw the truth of it. And they wasted no time, they found Jesus, and there's a real sense of urgency at that stage. It doesn't say anything about the sheep. I don't know whether the sheep were left on their own, or whether some stayed back, I don't know. But off they went. So let's check it out, they said firstly. Then let's tell it out. Once they had found it, and have found Mary and Joseph and the child, and then they said, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And it's too good to keep that sort of good news to yourself, isn't it? And they spread the word, and the shepherds were amazed, had been amazed at the news, and now the people too were amazed. And I love to be with new Christians. Do you? You know, I love it when people have come to faith recently. They are so thrilled about the message of Christ, and they want to tell it to everybody who will listen. And I love that. And the trouble is sometimes we get less thrilled about telling others, and we mustn't. We've checked it out. We found it to be true. Now let's tell it out, wherever and whenever. And don't worry whether it's received or not. It's not our responsibility to bring in converts all over the place. Our responsibility is to tell what we know and tell it well, and then allow people to respond to that in whatever way they will. And God will bless that. He will bless your enthusiasm, even when you're tired, like some of us get to, don't we? God will bless them. And then, luckily for the sheep, we know that in verse 20, the shepherds go back. They returned, glorifying and praising God. They were changed. These shepherds were changed. They would never be the same again. Wonderful. Why? Because they saw exactly what the angel had said was true. That's why they had seen that the Messiah had come, that Christ was born. Heaven had always said that was the case. The Old Testament had pointed to it, and now it was so. The Bible had predicted it, God had promised it, and so it was. And they went back home to do what they were required to do, but all the time, no doubt, telling everybody who would listen. And you know, brothers and sisters, you know this to be truth, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but this is God's saving plan. In here is all here. And we know that it's true. Because when God says something, it happens. When God puts in place a plan, that's done. He speaks and it's done. And we know that to be true. And already in this book here, this plan, Christmas brought Jesus to us, the God with us, Emmanuel. Easter, we celebrate the risen Christ conquering death and sin. And now we look forward to Jesus coming again to judge the world and to put right all the injustices that we know before taking him, his church, his people, us, to be with him for eternity. And just as Paul found, there were people saying, yeah, well, come on, where is this Jesus' second coming? It's not really going to take place, is it? Yes, it is. God has said it, and it shall be so. And we have no other means except his word. And his word has always been proven true. So, if God has put that in his word, like the shepherds, we will find things just as we are told in his word. Hallelujah. Now sometimes, I have to tell you, that my life hasn't gone the way I wanted it to. Sometimes I've found things going on which are thoroughly unjust, and frankly, I have remonstrated with God about it. But you see, that's immaterial. It really is. We are tested, yes. We are tested. But the truth of God's word and his salvation and the fact that we shall see heaven because not of ourselves, not of our performance, we won't have made it so. We won't be getting a gold cup at the end of the day. What we will get is a place in heaven at the wedding banquet. That's what we'll get. And he's promised that, and that will happen. Hallelujah. So, if ever there was a time, of course, there's never been a time when the world didn't need this message, but perhaps today it needs it more, doesn't it? Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, brings joy to all, brings peace with God, and brings an inheritance in heaven. Now that is an incredible deal. If we can't sell that deal, brothers and sisters, there's something wrong. I'm looking at you. Do you believe that? No? Are you with me?
Yes.
Oh, good. That's okay.
I gave you a deal.
It's busyness keeps us tired. I don't know what you mean. At this time of the year, it is very difficult. Sleep gets more difficult, and we get tired. But don't lose the joy. Don't lose the picture, the bigger picture. Don't allow the small picture to muddy that which God has told us. And let's be the ones who tell it out, as you do already, I know, in lots of ways. Be encouraged to continue to tell it out and to know that God will bring it about in his time when he's ready, and he will bless you nonetheless as we go on through 2024. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that even the shepherds were precious to you. Even we, every one of us, is precious to you. Thank you that you came for us before we ever knew you, before we could do anything. You came. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you still come. Thank you that you are Emmanuel, the God with us. Thank you that as the battle grows strong, so you enable us to stand. So help us during this busy time of year, Lord, to stand and to be light in the darkness, to be love to the loveless, to be hope to the hopeless, to show you to all who will see. Lord, in your mercy, hear our cry.